I'm going to share a revelation here with a lot of scripture in it. This was given to Gaynold Moser on the 27th of last month. And we called it Captivity, Cleansing, and Resurrection. So, she says on 4/21/16, I had not been able to sleep as I was in an intense spiritual battle. So got up to pray and read scripture until my heart and spirit were at peace. The next morning I woke to a one scene dream / vision. And let me say that this is the whole story of what has been happening for all the years of denominational falling away since Jesus' time, including the most recent faction movement of falling away. God's people have gone into captivity for rebelling against the word, but God has a plan in all of this. Gaynold said, I saw two dead chickens in our kitchen sink. I believe Gaynold probably represents the bride here, whose work it will be to clean these two unclean birds. Chickens are unclean birds, as you know. She said nearly all the feathers had been plucked out. And this represents those in bondage who are unable to overcome the world and are possessed with demons. As Revelation 18:2 says, fallen is Babylon the Great and has become a habitation of demons and a hold or a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Gaynold said there were only a few feathers on a wing of one of the chickens. And I'm sure the Lord has given me a very good revelation concerning this. A remnant among them will overcome the world, which is what feathers do, right? Amen. She said, my first thought was to thank the Lord for delivering me from my adversaries. Well, amen. That is so true, because God's always used apostate adversaries to perfect his people. They have persecuted his people. They have crucified his people. They have done their work. And, of course, as God's people have held fast to the word in the midst of these trials, God has sanctified them and crucified their old flesh, right? It's a good thing. We don't like it, but it's a good thing. And the enemies of what and who is right and true have been turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. In other words, a cleaning. You got to clean them chickens, right? So let's find out who these chickens are. She said, at first I thought this was just for me, but after asking the Lord for a verse for the two chickens, I thought it may have been intended in an even broader sense. Oh, yes, it is, very much. So true. The verse I was given by random was Ezekiel 17:3. And before I read the verse, the heading at the top of the page caught my attention. It was Parable of Two Eagles and a Vine. Well, amen. In Ezekiel 17:3 was the text, and it says, and say, thus saith the Lord, a great eagle with great wings and long pinions full of feathers, which had diverse colors, came unto Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. Okay, well, The two eagles in this text are Babylon and Egypt, because that's what literally happened back then. You know, the letter comes and then the spirit comes, right? It's fulfilled in the letter and it's fulfilled in the spirit for the spiritual people, right? So when we look for the parable, we can find it. And as we can see, Babylon took the top of the cedar, the apostate leadership of God's people captive. And we personally have watched as the factious apostate leadership, both old and new, was taken captive to the beast harlot, and later those under them were taken captivity. We've seen this several times. And in a larger sense, they are among the apostate churches that have previously been in captivity to the harlot of Babylon. You remember the story, how every time God's people turned astray, well, he sent a big beast to bring them into captivity. And this happens in a couple of ways. The first thing we can see is, spiritually speaking, they become unlike Christ. It's either Christ or Antichrist, isn't it? When they're taken into captivity, Babylonish captivity, it doesn't even reflect the biblical Christian religion that the Bible shows us, right? So they're taken into captivity and they can't even see that. But also, there is a physical aspect to this captivity that is coming. So we need to see both here. And let me say that those who were left by the king of Babylon to tend the land were taken captive to Egypt, where most of them died when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Egypt. And this is a type of those who fell away to false religion, Babylon, and those who fell back into the world, Egypt. Okay. But a more physical aspect of this captivity is coming to the apostates, especially in the last 3.5 years. I say especially in the last, because it's happening now in a way. Christians are losing their authority in the world, you know, their rights in the world, etc., etc. So I say especially in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. There'll be a loss of government representation, a loss of income through the mark, FEMA camps, etc. You know, all that's coming. But not before God's people are ready for it. Jacob is small, right? That's what the complaint was, and God reneged on that, right? She said, then I felt the chickens represented the apostate false teachers taking those young in the Lord for their own purposes. Oh, yeah. Lots of selfish ambition there. People making themselves into somebody that they're not. She says, the Lord shows us that they will not escape. Well, exactly so. And she said she read this whole chapter of Ezekiel 17. It's a good story. God threatened the unclean bird who went down to Egypt to defend themselves against Babylon with destruction, which came when Babylon invaded Egypt. Only a few in number who heard the words of Jeremiah and Baruch in Egypt escaped this invasion in Egypt to return to Judah, as in Jeremiah 44, 14, and 28. A few in number came back. God commanded Israel to never return to Egypt because it represented them going back into the authority of the Egyptians. In other words, back under the old man, right? Bondage to the old man. Well, you know, when people are outside of God, they're always in bondage to the old man, right? And eventually, let me say that there will be a civil war in the United States. The right wing will return to Egypt to fight with Babylon, but they will lose the war just as it was in history. When I say return to Egypt, I meant return to following the flesh, you know. And, of course, God's going to judge them for that. So the other unclean bird was taken into bondage in Babylon for chastening and repentance. And then they and their children had a few feathers to return to their promised land, representing a right relationship with God and his promises, right? The righteous shall live from faith. And when people get taken out of their promised land, they forget the promises. That's the reason they're taken out. They forget the promises. And they're taken into captivity to the demons, because the promises are your shield. They're your buckler. They're the thing that delivers you out of the hand of the enemy. Psalm 91, how many people have been delivered by the promises there? Well, you forget God, you forget those promises, the devil is ready and waiting and willing to take you out, and that's what he does. And of course, that promotes a fear of God in God's people and a desire to be very diligent, to not depart from the Word. And so these are the two unclean birds, right? And the heads of these two birds are the apostate leaders, past and present, who bear much blame for being Judas goats. You know what a Judas goat is, right? It leads the lambs into captivity. For being Judas goats to lead God's people into bondage. And many of these were and are being destroyed, so a few will repent. It's all God's plan, and it is so beautiful, you know, because in a minute I'm going to share with you how everybody's really going to prosper at this. That is, everybody who is God's elect, captive and not captive, they're all going to prosper through this. That's God. I mean, he is so sovereign. You know, he can make all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things. If you're proud, he knows how to humble you. Kind of like Nebuchadnezzar, right? If you're too proud to obey his word and you think you know better and you're going to do it your way, well, Nebuchadnezzar is going to be your situation, you know. As many are in that now, many are in that situation now. And it is just like Nebuchadnezzar. It's a demonic bondage. And as you know, Daniel and Ezekiel both preached to those in Babylon, and Jeremiah preached to those in Egypt. And these were man-child reformers to those bodies to return them to God and their land. So it's a very neat story, very neat revelation of God chastening his people and bringing them to repentance. It doesn't matter which way they go, they're going to get chastened. And the elect among them, which are the chosen, which are the ones that bear fruit, the elect among them are going to turn and repent and return to God. Because of, look at what's happening out there. You know, I mean, anybody that's got any sense, has heard any Bible, they can see the beast is taking over the earth. They can see that they're running out of time. And send a few shakings, a little judgment, a little foolishness, and a lot of people are going to be crying out for God. And that's a good thing, because we're running out of time. We've already just about run out of time to be in the bride. And I got another revelation I'm going to share with you about that. We've had several of them recently. That part of the plan is almost finished. So walk by faith wherever you are. Faith is accounted as righteousness. Repent of any sins. You certainly want to be in that number, because like Esther, you'll be in the king's house. You won't be out there fighting with Haman and his bunch, you know. Praise God. So she went on to say, I asked for a verse by random for the sink, and was given Romans 6, 9 through 11. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more has dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he liveth unto God. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Well, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we don't have to live in bondage to the old man's beast and harlot, right? We don't have to. We need to know that. The devil likes to bluff a lot of people, you know, into them believing that he has some authority over them. The only way he gets authority over them is if they give it to him by walking in willful sin. Okay? And he will take you to Babylon and deliver you over to the harlot. for foolishness. So in this text, just as Jesus' flesh had to be put to death for us, we also must be put to death and raised from the dead, which is what our act of baptism is a faith thing to receive. The end from the beginning, we receive it through our baptism in faith, right? If you haven't been baptized, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Those elect who were taken captive to Babylon and a few in Egypt for death to self, which is a sink cleaning, right, will be resurrected and returned to their promised land. In one parable, Babylon is the harlot and Egypt is the world, right? Babylon is the harlot, Egypt is the world. In another sense, Babylon is the U.S. and Egypt is those who fight against her, which God forbade that the Christians would go back to the arm of the flesh, give in to their flesh, raise up arms against this Babylonish beast. So, I mean, look in the scriptures. You will see. He warns you against doing that. But yet many will do it and many will die, because Babylon will conquer Egypt, just as they did before. So, dead, unclean chickens are in captivity in both places. Okay? Does that mean those relatives you're praying for are there for good? No, it doesn't. God, you believe your prayers and God will bring them to pass, right? And Gaynold said on the evening of 4:22, as Marlon and I were praying for UBM and others, I had a vision. I saw a fat brown snake coiled up on the ground, but did not see his head. And I felt he was dead and maybe didn't have a head. We felt the snake represented witchcraft, and I might add faction, because brown, of course, is one of the Nazi colors, and that's what happens to these folks. They just keep going after, persecuting the New Testament Jews and putting them to death, and so on and so forth. So it fits the faction very well. In fact, we've had other revelations with the brown color representing that too. So the apostate head, in other words, she said, maybe he didn't have a head because she didn't see a head, right? Well, that's good, because God is going to take away that evil head, right? The apostate head or leadership that caused God's people to go into captivity is like Saul and his administration. When God's people see that they are dead, they will turn to the Davids, as in Scripture. How do you know they're dead? Well, you can pretty well tell all through the Scriptures where Saul was dead. You know, he had no life of God in him. He was demon-possessed. He was dead. We want to be dead unto sin and alive unto God, as Romans 6 says, right? Instead of dead unto God and alive unto sin, right? So in Ezekiel 17, the parable of two eagles and a vine, the body of the fat brown snake is like the vine. In verse 6, it was called a spreading vine of low stature. A snake is also of low stature, and it was brought low because it lost its legs in the garden, because it was a tempter. It was a deceiver, right? It lost its legs and had to crawl on its belly. A spreading vine of low stature. It's been humbled and ready for new leadership in the promised land. That's the body that was following the head, but it lost its head. Thank God. The deceivers, many of the people who have gone into the denominations, the faction movement, false revival movement, all those other movements out there, many of those people were deceived. And but they were led into this humbling crucifixion, a spreading vine of low stature, so that they would be humbled and be ready to look up to God and turn their and understand that the word of God cannot be departed from without bringing you into captivity. Right? Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. You have the plan, Lord, and it's going to work just fine to bring multitudes into very quick maturity. Thank God you're doing this, Lord, before the tribulation, because people will get a start on this thing and be prepared for new leadership. And she said the verse that she was given by faith at random was Isaiah 17:9. In that day shall their strong cities be as the forsaken places in the wood and on the mountaintop, which were forsaken from before the children of Israel, and it shall be a desolation. Well, don't that just remind you of the denominations, right? They're going to forsake them. A city is a congregation, right, of people. So this is the story of Israel, actually, this text in Isaiah 17. Notice they're both 17. This is the story of Israel who factioned against and attacked Judah under Jerusalem, the bride, but was now being conquered by Assyria, which is the U.S. for this, in one parable, the U.S. And that's what God does. I mean, he turns enemies against enemies, you know. I saw the U.S. as Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian beast, in a vision in 1998. So Assyria, the Lord is turning the U.S. against apostate Christianity. And really, it needs to go to its cross. You know, when the beast of Rome, for instance, turned against the body of Christ and crucified it, he was set free. Well, just think about that. We are the body of Christ. Do we need to go through a crucifixion? Well, that's what's happening. And at this time, Assyria planned to conquer Jerusalem, the bride, but also 185,000 of them were smitten and the bride was saved. That was verse 4 through 14. And if you just take this ninth verse, it speaks of the faction, strong cities or sects being destroyed by the beast for coming against the bride, which was their true leadership. And this can be seen as the story of the two chickens. One who rebelled against the man-child Jeremiah and went to Babylon, which is apostate religion, and from whence many shall return, and the other was Egypt, type of the world, from whence only a few shall return. Well, we thank you, Father, for that. We are trusting you for that, Lord. In the faction, there were those who still considered themselves Christian, but they were far, far from it, and still are far, far from it. Others just gave up and went back into the world when they were deceived by these demons. And so she said, I thought this was interesting that the two scriptures given were from chapter 17, which mean victory, right? It also means preservation through evil, right? But victory, yes. And the victory is ours. The faction will be humbled as God is cleansing the sinners from among his people. Much like Nebuchadnezzar's demon possession humbled him when he was cleansed from among the people to later come to know God. Praise God. I mean, look at the work it did in Nebuchadnezzar. You looked at him probably out there grazing in the field with his claws and so much like a beast, and you think, oh boy, he's hopeless. Not so. Neither is any man hopeless if you pray and believe for them, you know. There are those that are reprobated, and they won't come back, but they're in the minority, I think. I think a lot of people are being turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh so that they would be saved in the day of the Lord. God does it. He's done it with them. He's done it with the faction. So, well, the victory is ours, but the victory is also theirs. The elect who were deceived and went into captivity for a crucifixion of their flesh will be resurrected and returned to their land. What a neat thing. Remember the resurrection of the dead bones, the dead dry bones? That's a revival. That's a lot of dead people coming back to life. Praise God. And the victory is God's too, because he cleansed his people and used Nebuchadnezzar to remove the evil apostate leadership in the land and in Egypt. And he removed the Zedekiah regime, put out his eyes, and killed his sons before him. You know, that's a type and a shadow of total blindness that comes over people. He was a reprobate. He didn't get a chance to return. You know, he was killed, and the people, his offspring, were killed too. I do believe some of those will be resurrected like those dry bones. And Ezekiel 17:4, it says, he, that's Nebuchadnezzar, cropped off the topmost of the young twigs thereof and carried it unto a land of traffic. And he set it in a city of merchants. He took captive the apostate leadership to Babylon. That's what this is saying. And of course it did happen. Verse 20, and I, God, will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and I will enter into judgment with him there for his trespass that he hath trespassed against me. And of course, that's happening, but will happen in a more literal way following the spiritual way. Hope you understand that. And this leads us to the greatest victory, a new leadership for the humbled body, as David replaced Saul, who was demon-possessed. This story is also told in Ezekiel 17 at the end. Ezekiel 17:22 says, thus saith the Lord, I will also take of the lofty top of the cedar, and will set it, I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it upon a high and lofty mountain, that's Zion, the new topmost man-child leadership for Mount Zion and God's people is what this represents, right? And 23 says, in the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all birds of every wing. In the shade of the branches thereof shall they dwell. This is a picture which, by the way, was once said to Babylon, but is now said of the man-child ministry. And as all the people fled the dead Saul ministry to go to David, so it's going to be. When people realize it, and they will see it. All the elect will see it, the rest won't. They'll stay with the dead. Let the dead bury the dead, right? Verse 24 says, and all the trees of the field, Jesus said the field is the world. So this is representing God's people who are still in the world, shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, that's that false leadership, and have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. God is going to raise up his Davids, and everybody's going to know the difference between David and Saul. And Deb Horton sent me this word that she received by faith at random. And she didn't know about this revelation, but she sent it to me. And in Psalm 78:70, it begins, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. from following the ewes that have their young. He brought him to be shepherd of Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. And Merlene Laughlin said, I woke up from a nap hearing 2 Kings 9 and 32 twice. So I got excited. 2 Kings 9 and 32 says, and he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs, and he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. That was Jezebel. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. So those who have served Jezebel cast her down, because she is guilty of the blood of the saints, right? Yes. And there's Jezebels out there ruling over God's people. The faction is full of them, and homosexuals and other things. My goodness. Gainold said, here's a word that I received from the Lord on the 23rd. Consecrate yourself for my service. Now, you know what the warning that she gives here will keep you out of faction or any denomination or any sect or cult that's out there. You won't be deceived if you'll listen to what she's prophesying here. Consecrate yourself for my service. That's right. Set yourself apart from the world to obey the word of God. Set yourself apart from the world for my purpose only, she says. Consecrate yourself in thoughts, words, and deeds that you be my witness. So, cast down all your evil imaginations. Cast down illegal thoughts about other people. Cast down receiving accusations against others illegally. And obey Philippians 4 and 8, which says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those who will not think on these things will be removed from the bride. That's exactly what's happening. So, you know, she says, be an example of holiness. I have called my people to holiness and the fear of the Lord. Well, holiness is separation from the world unto God, separation from sin unto God, separation from rebellion against his word unto God. Through obedience to the word, right? That's how you see going through every trial that we go through is we are obedient to the word. We overcome and we get more of God that way. If you disobey the word and overcome the trial in some kind of a way, you lose. You give the devil ground and eventually he will take you out. And she goes on to say, not to be men pleasers, but pleasers of God. This is true. Men pleasers think and speak with a forked tongue. They speak one way to your back and another to your face. 1 Timothy 3 and 8 says, deacons, which is the word for servants. It's not an office, by the way, in the church in the ASV, and it's not supposed to be. It's servants, people who serve the body in various ways. When, of course, we're all part of the body. We're all supposed to serve the body in various ways, right? But to be a servant that is recognized as a servant in the church, there's rules. And 1 Timothy 3:8 says, deacons, in like manner, must be grave, not double-tongued. There it is. A forked tongue. Not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. The people who felt the leadership, especially that fell away, they were especially greedy of filthy lucre. Filthy lucre is selfish gain for selfish ambition, is what it is. She says, let your light so shine each day that those around you see me working in you. Amen. Matthew 5 and 16 says, even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's how we glorify God. Letting our light shine, our good works, our obedience to God's word. She said, humble yourself in the fear of the Lord. Yeah, 1 Peter 5 and 5 says, likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You won't make it very long under the second heaven, where the devil and all his demons dwell. You won't make it very long unless you get grace from God. He gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. The proud are taken out. In every case, they're taken out. That's what's going on with this faction thing and the denominational deceptions that have led people away from Babylon into the harlot, bondage to Babylon, right? And those who mistreat their elders for selfish ambition will find no grace from God, obviously. She said, I am your holy and sovereign Lord. Be not afraid of what man can do to you. Trust me to be your protector and defender, the one who strengthens his people. Well, amen. Again, that reminds us of Psalm 91, right? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And who's going to bother you under there, right? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. So it's applied by your faith, right? My God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Yep, there are snares laid for you out there, but he helps you to get around them, right? And from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. There it is. Truth. You can defend yourself with truth. If you don't walk truth and speak truth and think truth, you can't defend yourself against the enemy. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the shield of faith, in the promises of God, right? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Amen. I will bless those who honor me and curse those who dishonor me. Well, since what we do to the least of his brethren, we do to him, he says in Genesis 12 and 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee will I curse, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So, I tell you what, treat the people of God right. Those that don't are in trouble. She goes on to say, let my love and peace flow through you to others. Be led by my spirit. Wait on me. Don't go where I have not led you to go. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It'll be dangerous to be led by your flesh in the days to come. It could cost you your life. Don't get caught up in emotions, but discern the spirits. Judge by my word if what you hear is truth. Yes, all who ignore the word to believe what they want to believe for the flesh's appetite are going to go into captivity. All who ignore the word go into captivity. Be always on your guard that no one deceive you. Be in my word daily and rest in me and know I am doing a work in you. It's about my faithfulness to what I'm working in you and not about your ability trust me and believe. Yeah, reminds me of Proverbs 3 and 4 says that. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Amen to that. And the scripture given me by faith at random was Acts 7 and 32 through 34. I, the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Moses became affrighted and durst not behold. And the Lord said to him, loose the shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So, from the holy ground of the presence of God will the deliverer come. The text goes on to say in verse 34, seeing I have seen the affliction of my people that is in Egypt, and have heard its groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. And now come hither, I will send thee, that is, the man-child, into Egypt. For what? To lead God's people out of bondage. Romans 11 and 26 says, and so all Israel shall be saved, even as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And I do believe that that is Jesus manifested in his first fruits man-child. Praise God. She said, in my spirit I felt that the Lord was calling his people to go out and gather the harvest, to go in humility. And this is God's holy ground. We are his servants. Yep. The John the Baptist ministry has been laying the foundation of repentance so that Jesus and the man-child will begin the harvest and the rebuilding of the temple of God. John the Baptist, the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of John the Baptist, the spirit of repentance is going forth. And I believe it has been for some time. It is going forth. And of course it's followed by the man-child ministry. So why do people become rejected by God who gives them over to captivity? Well, 2 Timothy 2 and 20 says, now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. So you can't be in the bride with a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble. We shared a dream like that recently about the three bales of hay in the back of the pickup truck, and it was blowing out as the bride got to the top of the hill. It was all gone. And that was Zion, right? Meat for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Oh, that's what we need nowadays. But flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't join yourself to the wood, hay, and the stubble, saints. You're not going to learn anything there. But foolish and ignorant questionings refuse, knowing that they gender strifes. And the Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all, apt to teach, forbearing, in meekness correcting them that oppose themselves. If peradventure God may give them repentance unto the knowledge of the truth. See, because God can do that. You need to correct those that oppose themselves, because whenever you're contrary to God, you're opposing yourself. You're letting the devil come in and take you out. You're going into captivity. Or else you're just going to stay there and you never come out of it, right? Because God can grant them repentance unto the knowledge of the truth. that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him unto his will. The Lord turns you over to the will of the devil. I tell you, it's a nasty place. That makes a lot of crazy people. 1 Corinthians 5:4, in the name of our Lord Jesus, you being gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Don't worry about them if they're delivered over to Satan. It's for chastening. They'll come back. Just believe God. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not the little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? This is talking about the body of Christ. This is why God has to cleanse the body. Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When there's malice and wickedness, you need to get it out. It'll spread. If it's okay for them, it's okay for everybody else, right? It can't be okay. You cannot let it be okay. And if you won't let it be okay, I tell you, they will flee. The wicked will flee. You won't have to tell them to leave. They'll flee. You point out from the scripture that their actions are not okay, they'll explode, but they'll flee. In 2 Corinthians 11:20, for ye bear with a man if he bringeth you into bondage, if he devoureth you, if he taketh you captive, if he exalts himself, if he smites you on the face, a good description of those that are foolish enough to let the factious leaders or any other denominational leader lead you into bondage. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, and spiritual parents too, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good. Wow, this is really a description of what we've been wrestling with since about 2011. Traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. If you don't obey, you'll be just like them, because a little leaven does leaven the whole lump. Don't turn away. You'll be just like them. And let me tell you, these people like this, many of these people have been delivered over to Satan. They weren't this way, but they were rebelling against God. And so, in some area of their life, and so God turned them over to Satan for this destruction, this humbling, so on and so forth. And he goes on to say, for of these are they that creep into houses, houses of worship, what he's talking about, and take captive silly women, laden with sins, led away by divers lusts. Yep, we've seen it. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men, as theirs also came to be. Now what is it that'll keep you from captivity? The flesh has to be brought into bondage to the Word of God. And when this is not done, captivity comes. 1 Corinthians 9:23 says, and I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker thereof. And know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? See, the one is Jesus Christ, and if you're in him, you'll receive the prize. But if you're not in him, not abiding in him through obedience to his word, you'll not receive the prize. Even so, run that you may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. Every man, self-control in all things. In other words, not disobedient to the word, making that old flesh obey. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run as not uncertainly. So fight I as not beating the air. I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Well, there you have it. The great apostle Paul would be rejected if he didn't keep his body under submission to the word of God. And by the way, there's promise of return from Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah 29 and 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are accomplished for Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. And you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." The Lord turns people over to the devil for the destruction of their flesh, so their spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Do you need captivity? Well, then God will give it to you. If you don't need it, he won't give it to you. If you don't need it because you're submitting to him, he won't give it to you. After 70 years, Cyrus, God's anointed shepherd, conquered Babylon and set the captives free to return. Isaiah 44:28 says, "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple thy foundation shall be laid." And 45:1, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings, and to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be shut." Oh, praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for setting the captives free and opening a prison to them that are bound. Jesus' first message after he came through his wilderness experience. Lord, we know that's his work. We know he's going to do it again. And Lord, we're just praising you for it in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace towards your people who are in bondage, who don't know their right hand from their left. And Lord, we just thank you that this repentance revival that's going forth will touch many, multitudes. We pray on open doors before it, Lord, that many will come to know God. And that they will be prepared for that new leadership that is going to lead them through the wilderness. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy and your grace for your people, Lord. Thank you for your kindness in choosing us and causing us to run after you. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.